Hey guys, we have an awesome episode for you. Before we start the show, we'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting us. If you'd like more info or just want to use the Tiger Belly codes, you can go to butcherbox.com/belly and use code belly, and audible.com/belly, or text belly to 500-500, and stitchfix.com/belly and shipstation.com/belly. Make sure you use those codes, get some discounts, help the show, support the show, and help yourself. Also, if you want to grab your Tiger Belly collectible, just scan the QR code on the screen or hit the link down in the description. All right, enjoy the episode.
What?
I'm not going to wear the headphones.
I wear them.
I don't want to.
You don't have to. What, you become nicer then, huh? You used to be mean.
No, I was never mean.
Like kind of edgier, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like no, roasty.
I'm still edgy.
Yeah, yeah. Still roasty. You know what I mean? But
you gave me, are we going?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
So here's the rule.
I want to say a nice thing to you that you will help me
when with. When we start, but can I just say this?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't say anything until I say your name.
All right.
It's the rules.
Hello, hello, everybody. Hello, I'm Bob Lee. I'm really emotional right now because I don't know. Last night I went to the Nope premiere, mm-hmm. and they threw popcorn at Bill Burr's head, and he got really upset with me. You know what I mean? And then
that's weird.
And then I saw the movie, and it was a real and emotional event for me. It was such a good movie, and there's a scene in there that just I can't talk about because it's a spoiler, but you know, when Jordan explained to me what the scene was afterwards, it was really emotional, and I just kind of been pondering about it and about my own life, how I'm going to die alone, and how that I think I'm just like disfigured, I guess, in the eyes of most, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm not sexy. I look in the mirror, and it's a blob of yellow fat. You know, it's a blob of yellow fat. But you know what? But at times I look at myself, I go, am I Steven Yeun? I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm a combination between, you know what I mean, that and an ugly person. Anyway, my point is this. We have a guest. I don't know. I have no idea. But where are you going, man? When I'm shooting, man, you can't be on my eye line, man.
You overstole my thing that was blocking.
I don't care. Head. Fucking sit down, man.
Ugly.
No, honestly, sit down. Sit down, man. What the fuck are you doing, man? We have a guest, man. Honestly, we have a guest, man. Fucking sit down. That's fucking crazy, dude. You want to get fired or what, bro? That was fucking nuts, man.
All right.
You fucked up my, sorry.
That being sad.
Yeah, yeah. Sad. I said, that being sad. But go back. All right. And I go, he was on my list for so long. And I'm like, he's in town. He came in like a fucking scholar, brought a book. But, you know, it's funny. He came in. Don't say anything yet. And I had all these things. I was going to make fun of him, the way he looked and stuff. And then he came in all nice and like, you know, namaste. And I was just like, what I was going to say is he looks like Brad Garrett, fuck Beaker. And then that kid worked at Chernobyl post the, you know, the meltdown,
yeah.
You know, something like that. Or, you know, he's ugly, unfuckable. But, you know what I mean? He is nice. I've always thought he was like one of the funniest guys I've ever seen. He's, you know, really just a great joke writer. And, you know what I mean? The kind of edge that I like a lot, you know? Joe DeRosa.
Woo!
Hi. How are you?
What's the matter?
George, nice to meet you.
What's the matter?
Finally. Nothing's the matter.
I know.
All I cared about was you said I was funny. I could give a shit about all the...
Oh, really?
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do think you're funny.
Thank you. I think you're funny.
Yeah, would you... But we've never... I'll be honest with you.
Is there any history?
You know, it's funny. Shut the fuck up. I
okay.
love you, man.
Okay.
Thanks for coming out. You know, I'm in a real weird mood today.
You're really
you
really
know? I really am.
When we came in, he was like crying.
I was crying.
I could hear it through the garage door because I rang the doorbell and nobody answered
for
10 minutes.
I'm sorry.
So I was
sorry.
Standing outside worried that I was in the wrong place. And as I was kind of taking in the surroundings, I found myself in front of the garage door hearing some sort of screaming or whimpering coming through.
Yeah, that was me.
And I said out loud to myself, this is weird.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I could feel your Jewish. Are you Jewish or Italian?
No, I'm Arab.
Quite the opposite. You're really Arab?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, you don't know it because I don't cheaply cash in on it for fucking likes on Instagram.
I love it. You hear that, Fahim Anwar?
Yeah. That was direct towards
all right,
you.
Ahmed, listening?
I like those guys.
And Maz?
I like all
Irani,
those guys.
I love those. They're all great.
I know.
What kind of Arab are you?
I'm not positive because I'm adopted, but according to the DNA test I took, mostly Egyptian.
Oh, so that's why the De Rosa.
Yeah, yeah.
You were adopted by Italian family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I always thought you were Italian. I would never guess Egyptian.
Honestly, in this age of identifying, I identify as Italian.
Oh, good.
That's how I was raised. That's what I understand and relate to the most.
But have you, it's interesting because, you know, one of my favorite shows is, what's that show that I like? No, help me out. It's on TLC. It's called Long Lost Family. Long Lost Family. And it's about adoptive people finding their... You ever want to?
No. Yeah, it's funny. I was on Honeydew yesterday, and we talked.
Yuck. You had to drive all the way to fucking Santa Monica?
It was far.
Yeah,
it's
pretty
far.
Fucking far, Sickler.
It is far for a podcast that only hits about number 57.
I didn't laugh. I laughed too hard, but sorry, Ryan, you're a good guy.
No, Ryan's the best. No, I love Ryan. I was very excited to do it. But we talked a lot about that. No, I've never really had an interest. I was adopted at 9 days old. My parents are my parents. It's just not something that I'm heavily interested in.
Right. What if they contacted you?
I wouldn't be adverse to it. I'd be open to it as long as they were pursuing a healthy experience.
What do you mean?
I mean, they could people are fucked up. I mean, you know, everybody. I said to Ryan, I go, everybody thinks it's going to be like Field of Dreams, where your dad goes, can we finally play catch? And it's like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
It could be fucking harsh.
I know. You could be like, you know.
But I used to have a joke where I was like, they're Arabs. So there's like, they could either be like oil barons or they live with a monkey that steals their dinner. Who knows?
You never know.
Yeah.
So you have no... That's interesting that you don't have an interest. I think deep down you do. There's got to be a curiosity.
The curiosity goes as far as if it was something cool, it would be cool to know and experience. But there are just so many variables. I'm curious about it the way I'm curious about skydiving. You know, there's a lot that could go wrong. And the one cool outcome, it isn't exciting enough to me.
That's interesting. Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's too many.
Wait, are you adopted?
Yeah.
I'm not fucking with you.
My parents are white.
Wow.
Yeah, my last name's not Lee. It's Robinson.
I feel like I knew that
I'm not adopted.
Oh, you're not?
I love how you're starting to search. Like, yeah.
I just couldn't even continue. I'm not adopted.
I know an Asian that's adopted.
Yeah, who?
I thought it was you.
No, say his name. Do you know an Asian that's adopted?
I think it might be Kevin.
Say the last name?
Say the last name.
What's his last name? I forget.
I knew, I think.
Yes.
What's his last name?
I'm blanking on his Kevin. I'm embarrassed. You
don't need to know it.
Why?
It's not that important.
You hate him?
It's not that important.
Are you not friends with him?
He's fine.
Maybe
it's not that important.
Korean beef, maybe?
Korean beef? What is Kevin's? I'm blanking on his last name.
Shay,
that's right. He's adopted, right?
Yes, he is. I'm pretty sure.
What can of worms did I have?
You know, it's not a can of worms.
Look how happy you guys all are.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy.
I'm pretty happy
Dr.
there.
Dr. Ken, not judging Singer.
Yeah, that was before he had...
That's before he fake walked off the show twice?
Oh, yeah. Did he do that?
He walked off twice.
Because
they had Giuliani on twice, and he walked off both times. I'm like, you didn't know he was... Come on, guys.
The Masked Singer?
Yeah.
Really?
Come on, guys. I mean, if he was here, he'd probably say he didn't know. But
yeah.
I have a hard time believing NBC left anything to chance.
Yeah. I don't know if he's happy with this job. I don't. First of all, number one... I don't know why he would do it. I don't think he wants to do it.
It doesn't seem to be... He, like, is, like, a funny guy and a funny actor.
Right. He's a funny actor. And, you know, I think that a lot of times... And this is just... I don't want to start a war with... I have too many wars.
I know,
I have too many fucking wars.
You got beef,
I got
son.
Beef with people.
No, like, you're fucking Tupac circa 93,
Yeah. But I want to say that... you know, a lot of people, they maybe find like a slow time. Like, you know, I've had 5, 6, 7 years of nothing, right? But it's like I still got offered like weird shit. Like, do you want to be a Nickelodeon, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Be the slime guy. Yeah. And I'd be like, no, because I know I need the money. And I know that it's got, you know, it'll feel like I'm part of show business, but I'm not going to, I only do things that I feel like are high level, as high level as I can get them, you know?
Right. Like a Jamie Kennedy movie. Okay.
Boom, Joe DeRosa in the house.
You know
Joe
what?
Joe DeRosa.
Hey, that was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love you.
So I did.
I do. You're one of my
favorite. Yeah, but can
people.
I just be honest with you? George, you're laughing. What the fuck?
George is turning red.
No, I love humor like that. I love humor. I like being rad.
I want to tell. Eventually, I want to tell the story.
I'm not going to fire you. Yeah, I'm not going to fire you.
I want to tell the story when I first met you eventually.
Yeah, well, but let me just. Can we talk about
love you.
Can we talk about kicking it old school?
Let's get into it.
Was that what it was called?
That's what it was called. Kicking old school.
I couldn't.
You have to
I
understand.
I thought it was called like back spinners. I didn't remember what the fuck that was called.
Right. So you have to understand at the time, right? I was in my second year of MAD or third year of MAD, right? And I was like young, right? So I was just like, a movie? Jamie was huge at the time.
I know, man.
He had just done Malibu's Most Wanted. And that did okay. And I was just like, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
Scream. He was like doing.
Yeah, Scream. Yeah, bigger things.
Yeah.
He did one of my favorite movies was with Eddie Murphy. What was that called? With Steve Martin.
Bowfinger.
Bowfinger.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me about the first time we met. Let's say something nice.
I met you at the Laugh Factory in New York. Jamie Masada had opened the New York club. It didn't last a very long time. But it was. It was right in the beginning, and they were trying to do this thing where they were going to have headliners come to New York the way Caroline's does. And they didn't do that for very long. But you were one of the only headliners that actually came before they changed the format to just a showcase room. And
it was a nightmare.
Yeah, it wasn't a great space. But I was opening for you. I was on the shows.
No.
And I didn't. I might have known you from Mad TV. It might have been before Mad TV. I don't remember. But we were sitting. They had this lounge for the comics that was open on either side. It had these big doors that had no doors on them. Doorways that had no doors on them. And one led to the showroom and the other one led to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it was wide fucking open. And people had to walk by to go to the bathroom. And the staff was coming in and out. And I was sitting there with you. And you were like, do you smoke? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, do you want a cigarette? And I was like, we can't smoke in here. And you go, yes, we can. And I go, no, we can't. And you go, watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this. And you just lit up a cigarette and Jamie came over and started freaking out. And
yeah.
You were like, Jamie, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And you put it out. And as soon as he walked away, you go, watch how mad he's going to get. And you lit another cigarette.
Wow. Agonizing.
He came over and screamed at you again.
Yeah.
And you're like, Jamie, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And you put it out. Walked away and you're like, watch this, watch how mad he's gonna get.
Yeah.
You did it again.
Yeah.
He came over and then you just started being like, what's the big deal, Jamie? Who gives a fuck? Let me smoke.
Yeah.
And I was so young in comedy. I was just like, I didn't know you could like fuck with a club guy like that.
Oh yeah.
Because I was so scared of not working. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you were, I was the guy, and then you went on stage and you took your dick out and lit your pubic hair on fire.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
He fucking freaked out.
He
about
freaked
that.
Out, smoke code.
Yeah. So you what just were, and I was like, I just liked you. I was like, this guy's fucking nuts.
Unhinged.
After that, this is the other reason I really liked you, was because, so that was it. That was the only time I had met you. And then every single time I came to LA, which was few and far between, you remembered me, you were nice to me, you like treated me like a friend, and I cannot say the same about many other LA people.
That's right.
That I met early on. But you were I was like, this guy's like a genuine dude. You were just always a guy I never had a bad fucking thing to say about you, you know?
Oh, man.
Really?
Damn it.
You know?
Number one, I want to tell young comics and this, okay? Who gives a shit?
Right.
Right. They're all people. And it's like, you know what Don Myrera once said? Stand-up comedy is the only business you just can't get fired in. Because if one chain doesn't like you, another group people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're in Dallas, right? Oh, fuck, Addison does that. Then you go to Hyenas. Or you're in the House of Comedy. There's just so many different people that are in competition with each other. New clubs pop up, right? There's always another kid around the corner, you know what I mean?
Or you go downtown and do the coffee shop show or whatever.
Yeah,
it is,
yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Whatever, whatever, man.
You can always do it. And also, I was mad at Jamie because he goes, hey, buddy, come headline, right? And I go, cool. And as soon as I walked, saw him that day, I was in New York, he goes, buddy, this is Asa Akira. You know Asa Akira?
Asa
Akira. Asa Akira is the number one, one of the number one porn stars, right?
Okay.
But at the time, she was a 16-year-old high school girl, right?
Okay.
He goes, buddy. And Asa was in high school. She was in porn. She was just a kid.
Uh-huh.
She goes, she had a fucking box full of tickets. Mm-hmm. And buddy, he goes, buddy, you and this Japanese girl, go into the city and give... Get
what?
Sell tickets. So I remember I had to bark. What do you call, not basking? What do you call that?
Barking.
Barking. I had to bark my own headlining tickets, and I was on Mad TV at the time, right? So at the time,
wait,
I.
Why didn't you just say no? I'm not doing that.
Because no one bought a ticket.
There was just
zero.
Is that your problem? That's his problem.
It is my problem because I don't want to perform in front of nobody.
No, then you don't have to do the show, and you still get paid.
No, he was like, it was. There was a weird condition
where,
you know, buddy, if you don't, I'm not going to. And he also, he had the L.A. club, too. It's like, I didn't want him to ban me from Hollywood, right? So there, he had that over me. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm not really getting that much money. I have to give away tickets all day long, every day, with this girl. So her and I would just go have lunch or we go on a roller coaster. Like, there was this one thing where there was a roller coaster in a mall or something. You know what I mean? So we would just do that, right? But I remember going, I'm just going to smoke and show my light my pubes on fire and just do whatever I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Now I have an act. You know what I mean? I tell jokes now, but so if you come see me. I have jokes, but yeah.
I was envious of how free you were.
Yeah.
On stage, because I've never been like that. I've never been free.
You're free now.
Well, I'm I've always been very, like, by the written word of the bits. Like,
yeah.
I have very specific wording, and if I fuck the wording up, I don't like it. And I always envied guys where it really looked, like, loose and just fast and loose.
It's funny. My chaotic thing is still precise. And, like, you do a bit about, I forgot what the bit is, but you do a bit where you're on a roller coaster going down. It's, I think it's, I don't know.
Oh, it's about pot. I can't smoke weed.
Yeah, and you're going, or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know the detail of the joke. But
yeah.
I remember watching and going, wow, that seems like a bit that's kind of spontaneous. You have to commit to the thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems free and loose, but it's a written thing, but it's like the way you deliver it, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
Give yourself credit.
No. It's not a knock. It's certain guys just seem more free or something. Like, I can't explain it. Like Ari's like that. Ari goes on stage and I feel like wherever the fucking room goes, he's on the boat and he's rocking with the boat.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a little bit like, if the boat rocks that way, then I go fuck yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're like, if the boat's going, you're like, if this sinking, I'm going to sink with it.
Not even sink is negative. No, not okay. Sink. It's just fluidity. Like, it's this can, I don't know. It just seems spontaneous to me, but maybe I'm just falling for the illusion.
Yeah, you what you're doing is what we all do.
Right.
And it's in our heads.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like when I did that Austin show, I just tweeted 2 weeks ago, because I literally thought, I did this like show, the theater show with Austin. I was like a guest star. It was like a bunch of like more alt-y local Austin comics. And I went on late. It was, the show had already gone on. The theater was packed. It was a theater. And I walked up there, and I said my first joke, and I literally went, oh, they hate me, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I go, because I know the amount of people in this room,
right?
And I know the value of laughs,
right?
Right, and I'm not getting the value, right? So they hate me. And after every joke, and then I started doing stuff, oh, let's go edgy, right? And then that didn't work. I go, I'm going to clean it up. Nothing I did, I felt like it worked. And as I got, I literally went, good night. And ask any of the comics there. I bolted out of the theater, and I went, I fucking suck. And I went to CVS, and it stayed that way for 24 hours until the next day. And people were like, I was walking around, and people were like, you killed it last night. And I was like, what?
I dude, I had one of those. It was during the, it wasn't a set, but it was during the lockdown. It was like when we were first sort of coming out of lockdown. And Michael Che was doing these like shows in Brooklyn on the back of a flatbed truck. Remember when that kind of shit
was
happening?
Yeah. I never did them. Yeah.
And me and Okerson went out one day just to hang out. And then he invited us on stage. I hadn't been in front of a crowd. And Mike, and I looked crazy. My hair was like all long and like froed out. And I was wearing like cutoffs with like socks pulled up because we'd all been in the house. And like, I think I had a beard. Like, Che just started fucking with me. And I didn't have any juice in the tank. I just didn't. I wasn't on my game, and I couldn't hit him back. And when I was trying to hit him back, it was bombing. And I got off stage, and I walked out of the wherever it was, like four blocks over. And the whole walk, I was going, "You fucking loser! You fucking suck! You're a fucking loser!" Out loud to myself.
Yeah.
I was drunk too, which didn't help.
Yeah.
And then Jay called me. He's like, "Where did you go?" And I go, "I'm fucking never doing comedy again. That's where I was."
I know where our heads are.
Yeah, and he was like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah, that was it.
Look at all the people there.
So many.
Was that many people?
Yeah, it was wild. He did it like a bunch of times, and it was like when the BLM things were happening. So they wouldn't bust anything like this because they were scared that they would look racist.
Oh, right. I love it. Yeah.
But then I went back. He talked me down, and I went back, and then I saw Che, and Che was like, "That was so fun, man." And Jay goes, "It's fucking dummy saying he's going to quit comedy."
I know.
And Jay's like, "What are you talking about? Like, I know. That was so fun." And I was like, "I fucking bombed." He's like, "You weren't even doing a set, dude. We were just like riffing. Like, who cares?"
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, I don't know. I was so in my fucking head. It's horrible. But let's
analyze that. Why do we do that? What is it about our lives and who we are as people? Because I know a lot of comics that don't do that. They're so confident. It's like, even when I think, I was mediocre, they're fine with it. They can move on with their lives. Me, it's life-altering sometimes. Like, I lose sleep.
I think no truly good comic doesn't do that.
I love where you're going.
Yeah.
I love exactly this road.
That's what I think. I know famous guys that are really established, that have big followings, that are good enough at comedy. And what I mean by good enough is they pull it off, and they pull it off a lot of the time. But when they don't pull it off and I see the way they react, I'm like, "You're not a good comic." You just manage to pull it off sometimes.
Yeah.
A good comic, We can all agree Burr is a great fucking comic.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Burr, this is before he was famous, but this is who he is at his core. I remember seeing him headline at Caroline's, and the room was like half full. It was like a Tuesday or something. And he had a great set. Like, the material was there. Like, you know, and then he came off stage, and he was like, and we were talking, and I was complimenting him, and we were just bullshitting. And then he went to leave, and he turned around, and he goes, That was all right, right? Like, and I was like, "There it is, dude."
Yeah.
Like, there it is. Like, good comics feel like that.
Yeah.
To me, Maria Bamford is a fucking genius.
She is.
She is a fucking genius. She is one of my favorite comics. And I'm lucky enough that I've gotten to tell one of my favorite comics that to her face, which is really cool. But like, Jesus Christ, dude. I'll see her after sets where I'm like, "Are you going to go jump off a bridge right now?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she's like, "Oh, God damn it. I just didn't, you know, I shouldn't have done that. They hated me." And I'm like, "Hated you? They loved you."
Yeah.
Like, and she still like does that thing where she's like, "I shouldn't have done that voice for so long." And, you know, and you're like, that's a good comic. I'm not saying you have to cut yourself.
Yeah.
And torture yourself after a set. But like, if you don't have that thing in you, then how could you ever get better? How could you ever look at the comp and go, "I got to get my fucking game up"? My friend, I'll say this and I'll shut up.
No, keep going. But
my friend said this about, I remember Eminem and Royce the 5'9" put out that Bad Meets Evil record.
Yeah.
And I remember me and my friend Jim listened to it for the first time. And he goes, "Shit, man, if I was a rapper, I'd be intimidated. because they were so good on it.
Yeah.
And I that stuck with me. And I was like, I have to look at comedy like that. Like, and I do. Like, when I see a good special, which, woo, it is it hard to find.
Yeah.
But when I see a good one,
yeah,
I'm like, like the Cat Williams one where it's like raining the whole time and it's the White House backdrop.
Yeah.
I watched that special and I was like, I'm not working hard enough. I'm like, that motherfucker, he just leveled the fucking room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, here's the thing. And you guys know, right? I've never done one.
You ever did a special?
Never.
Never.
Right.
It's funny. Now that you mention it, I'm like, oh, yeah. But you never even did like Comedy Central Presents or one of those
things? No, never.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I think I've done like late night. I did the Tonight Show back in the day, sure. And I've done, you know what I mean, stuff just to establish myself as a stand-up.
Sure.
But yeah, half the tweets I get is like, when are you going to do a special? Why don't you do a special? Number one, it's like, and I don't want to make fun of people, you know, because I'm not like a guy that like, you know what I mean? Because I know everyone's trying their best.
No, they're not.
I know.
What an LA thing for you to say. That's very nice. They're not trying their best.
Yeah.
They're fucking I was talking to one of the kids that was opening for me in San Francisco this weekend. And I was like, because I'm working on this new hour. And I go, dude, I'm not putting it out till it's fucking ready. And I go, the audacity of some of these comics, the shit they're putting out that they think it's okay. And this is their debut.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're putting it out themselves.
Yeah.
It's one thing, man. No motherfucker's going to say no if you're 2 years in and Netflix goes, here's $150,000 to take do a special. No kid is going to go, no, I'm not ready. You're going to go, oh my God, my life is changing. But when you put it out yourself, and you're like, this needs to be out there. And you're looking at this shit. You're like, you thought people needed this?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, but I also don't equate my success. It's not linked to doing stand-up.
Right.
Right? Because I've made money my whole career and never done a special. And I've not just made little money. I've made great money. You know what I mean? I've survived, right? When I go on the road, and I'm sorry, but I sell out every ticket.
Why are you sorry?
I'm not sorry, but I'm just saying. And people are like, well, why don't you do a special? I go, I don't need to. I go to Chicago and Florida or anywhere, and I sell out in 5-10 minutes.
It's great.
Right? My point is that why? What is it? Right? So it's like, for me, it's like and I look at other people's specials. I want, like, there's somebody.
You may, I know.
Yeah, yeah. There's somebody from a different country, right? Who's a female? I saw that person, right?
Got it.
And I watched it. I go a couple years ago, and I watched it. Just listened, right? And I go, I don't even know at what part it's supposed to be funny.
I'll name names.
Why do you feel comfortable? You like?
Yeah.
Because it hurts people's
Hannah
feelings.
Hannah Gadsby fucked the whole game.
I don't know who that is. I think she's great. I think she's great. I don't know who that is. That's not who I was talking
Anna
about.
Gadsby fucked the whole
she's
game
great,
up.
She's great and she's wonderful.
I'm not saying she has a bad message.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not saying.
I like the message.
I liked her.
What?
I liked her until she got preachy about what other comics have to
What's
do.
What's wrong?
I hated her message. Her message was to
Turn him up, I guess.
Was to me that like comedy does not like surpass all, that you have to be depressed in the end. And that was the message that, like, she ended with that I fucking hated. It's, like, so anti-comedy.
Well, I think that's a one perspective, right? Like, and I don't think that that's wrong, necessarily. But I just mean, like, if you want to talk about how we should be more accepting and all these things, I think that's a nice thing to say. And I don't even have a problem with you saying it on a comedy special. And I don't have a problem with you even crying on your comedy. But my point is when I say she fucked the game up, she put this message, once she got that swept up in all of it, then she started saying, if you're not, so first she does a special without punchlines, really. And you go, okay, whatever. I'm only saying this because she's arrogant. I'm not saying it to stir up.
I mean, that's the key. That's the key.
That is the key. Yeah. If she never said shit and went, thank you guys, I'll see you in a couple years with my next one. And But she started going everywhere. If you do this, then you're not using your, and all that shit, and comics that do this suck, and whatever, however she said it. So my point is this. She did a special that mostly lacked punchlines. When there were punchlines, they were weak. And then after that, she started preaching to people how they needed to do comedy. And she got a lot of press doing it. And she fucked the whole game up, because she didn't fuck the game up. The game, it is what it is. Where there's room for all of us. I'm just saying, when you see this influx of these horseshit specials where somebody thinks that just because they have a point of view, whatever, and that's not the only horseshit. There's hack horseshit in all directions.
Yeah.
But the ones that really get a lot of shine right now are these like perspective specials. And they're just like, I don't know, man. If you want to do TED Talks, go do TED Talks. And here's why it pisses me off.
Yeah. Can you turn my mic up? I can't hear myself.
Here's why it pisses me off.
Yeah.
I got into comedy because I wanted to get into spoken word.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be Henry Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And Jello Biafra. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to go on stage and read like essays that I wrote and shit.
Oh.
That were my opinions. And I was like, well, I can't do that because I never sang in a famous band. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody's going to listen. The closest thing to it is stand-up. So I guess I got to figure out how to be funny on stage. And it annoys me now that there are people being like, well, you don't have to. And it's like, no, you do. Hannah Gadsby doesn't have to because she caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, also, it's when I watch it, I don't know, even if Netflix goes, we're going to give you one, but you have to do what they're doing, I'd just be like, nah. I don't know how.
Right.
Right? Because I play at the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm in front of beasts, mm-hmm. right? And I have to kill,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's when you're following, there are nights where I had to follow Bill Burr, Rogan, all these guys back to back.
Ron White.
In a packed room, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't go, oh, wow, Asian hate. It's terrible, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I can't do that. I have to go out there and go light my pubes on fire. You know what I mean?
Opening,
or something.
Opening.
Yeah. I have to open with that. Yeah.
It's a two-headed beast, right? Because there's that side of it, which I've always said. I go, there's a pressure, man. When there's money involved, now there's pressure. You better deliver. Mm. And you can form very bad habits that way. We all have.
Yeah.
Dimitri Martin said, like, I hope he doesn't mind that I'm quoting this, but he left the Comedy Cellar. He stopped performing there, and he went to the alt rooms, as they were called back in the day, and he said, I'm forming bad habits.
At the Cellar?
Yeah.
Why? Because
you had to kill.
All right.
Now, I like the Cellar. I performed at the Cellar, but that is, there is a truth to that.
Dude, you literally just blew my mind right now.
Why?
That's what I need to do.
What?
I have to get out of the clubs.
Well, here...
You just literally, that's it. That's it.
You have the advantage. You can do that.
I don't know where to go.
You'll figure it out.
I don't know where to go.
That's the thing. Like you, you hit a certain point in this business where it's like, you don't need to be doing four sets a night at the Store anymore.
I do that every night.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, but you go on the road. It's like, I was talking to Dan Soder about this, and I was like, dude, I'm not doing sets on Tuesdays. I'm not doing sets on Mondays. Motherfucker, I'm not doing sets on Thursdays or Sundays or Wednesdays. I'm doing sets in the city on Friday or Saturday if I'm in town, because those nights pay the most. And I'm not doing six. I'm doing two.
Yeah.
Because I'm going on the fucking road. This thing of you live on the stage, or it's such stupid fraternal horseshit. It's what you need to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
You don't need to do it for your whole career. And you're in a place of great advantage now because you can afford financially to go fuck around in a bookstore.
Yeah.
And just be like, who gives a fuck? I'm not getting paid. I can just fuck around and... But here's the other side of it. When you're coming up and there's money involved, there's pressure. But you get money, so that's great. I remember talking to Kurt Braunohler and Kristen Schaal because they were alt kids.
Mm.
And the first time I met them was at...
Who's Kurt Braunohler?
Kurt Braunohler is a comic who co-hosts Hot Tub with Kristen at the Virgil every week. And he's great. He's very funny. But the first time I met them was at a club called Comics in New York that's also gone. And they were like, we were very young. And they were like, this is cool. Like, you work here. Like, and I was like, yeah. And they were like, we're trying to get over here to like make money. And I was like, I'm trying to get to where you are. I'm tired of fucking, I'm afraid to try shit because I worry about fucking the show up or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, so the grass is always greener. But my point is when you get to a certain level that you're much more famous or whatever than I am. But like, my point is we're still both at the level where it's like, you don't have to go sit at the mercy of a club and all, you don't have to do it anymore.
Right. But you also, right. Like when I, like for, like the other day I had this feeling, I drove down Sunset and I saw this gigantic photo of Joe Coy. So it's Easter Sunday, Joe Coy, right?
Right.
And I went, you know what I mean? I looked at it, right? And I went, and immediately when I see that, because him and I started together, I'm like, I always go back to myself, like, why aren't you there? What happened to you? You know what I mean? You're not, you don't sell the tickets he sells. But then I say to myself, yeah, but I don't want to be you two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be Fugazi.
I say that all the time.
You know, I want to be the Pixies. I want to be like, I want to have my audience to be furious and into me, right? But I don't want to do stadiums.
I say it all the time. I say the exact same thing, and I use Fugazi as the example.
No.
I swear to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I say Katy Perry and Fugazi.
Oh, you do? Yeah. That's the difference, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, but that's Joe. That's Joe was always... And I always said, I know you're not knocking him.
I'm not knocking him.
Neither am I. But like, and I always said... And that's what gets me mad about, look, God bless Hannah Gadsby. Do your thing. But I hate when comics tell everybody it's all about this because we're not all in the same lane. We're just not. And I hate that I hate that the majority of comics think that they're all gunning for a Grammy Award. You're not. A lot of you are gangster rappers. You know what I mean? A lot of you are MC Hammers. A lot of you are pop stars. A lot of you are rock bands. Dude, I'm doing the fucking...
What band are you? I want to try to figure out what band I am in real.
I always related most to the Fugazi.
I know, but you. So you think that people are like, if they were going to do like some sort of survey and they go, and there was a list of bands on one side and a bunch of comics on one side and you're supposed to match them, right? You think people will go Fugazi?
How about you choose for each other? That might be.
No, I don't think people will say Fugazi for me. I'm saying it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I've been to many Fugazi shows. I relate.
Yeah, I like their philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing only $5 shows, right? Yeah. They didn't sign with a major label, even though back in the, you know, when Nirvana and all that stuff was happening, you know, I mean, they were being dangled all this money.
That's
they
the
stuck
thing.
Stuck to their guns.
Dude, they've been offered millions of dollars to reunite, and they say no.
Yeah.
I mean... Patrice always used to talk about that. He told me once. He goes, Joe, if you want to walk the righteous path, you got to take some. There's a cost. He goes, you can't be about the ethics and not take your lumps, man. He was like, it's, you know, and I agree with that, you know, and people, you know, I don't do this anymore, but I would have to catch myself. When I'd see somebody on late night and I'd feel jealous, I'd have to step back and go, dude, you decided a long time ago the process of late night was annoying and the reward was not high enough.
Yeah.
So you stopped fucking trying to do it.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed now to be upset when you see somebody on late night. You see what I'm saying?
God, you're like blowing my mind right now, dude. you're like, I'm having like mini spiritual awakening right now.
How many have you had?
I've had like six or seven of them.
Damn.
Wow.
Dude.
I agree. Dude, because it helps with my own psyche and my daily life. Patrice said to me once this. We were talking about Craig Robinson and Dr. Ken, and they were at the time doing well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was at Opie, and this is when obviously he's alive. And and Patrice goes, you know, you and I will never be them.
Right.
And I go, what do you mean? We're not going to ever get to that, even their level of success. And I go, why? He goes, because we don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're who we are, authentic ourselves. And when we go to parties, you and I, do you leave early? I go, these industry parties? I go, I don't even go at all. He goes, me too. He goes, me too. Yeah. He goes, I don't know how to schmooze. And you and I are the same. We don't know how to do all those things.
I do.
I go, you're right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't leave early. I do but an equivalent of that. What I go it? And I get fucking tanked.
you burn the bridge that way.
And then I'm the last guy there.
You burn the bridge. Yeah. You're that guy.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I like Craig, and but Patrice.
No, I love them.
No. I know.
I love them too, and I wish I'm not, I had their careers.
I don't though. Craig has a spirit that I don't have.
Right.
Craig has a positive. Craig is a joyful.
He's a joyful guy.
I'm not joyful.
I know me either.
And I find being joyful exhausting.
Why are we joyful? I want to be joyful.
You don't.
Why? Joy's good.
But you're a pretty happy-go-lucky.
I'm not. Ask them.
He was crying before.
I cry. I'm a disaster.
You're in a turbulent time right now.
No. You're right.
You are.
You're absolutely right. I am turbulence right now, right? It's a little rocky, but I feel great. I do. But I'm just, my normal state, though, is, you know what I mean? Is everything okay?
Right.
I mean, that's the real me. Mm-hmm. I wake up and instead of going, I want coffee, I go, is everything okay?
Right.
Is my lungs working? I hope bad things don't happen.
So, different people are wired in different ways. I saw Patrice do something once and I related to it so much. And I was like, and that was, without him saying it to me, that was the moment where I was like, probably one of my moment with him at least, where I was like, there's just different people in this business. But I was at Just for Laughs. I was opening for him for his one-man show. And somebody, and the show was sold out, and some like lady on the staff like got flippant with him and dismissive or something. And he called like the venue manager in, and he goes, and he started complaining to him about the woman. And he goes, motherfucker, I will walk down the street. And I was like, I relate to that so fucking much.
Wait, what was he trying to do? Get the girl removed?
He was like, how dare your fucking staff talk to me like that? I sold this place out. Tell your
So what did the staff say to him?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But he was basically like saying like, your staff is being rude to the guy that just sold this place out.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't give a fuck about this money. I will leave on principle. And I was like, and he said it aggressively. And I related so much because I'm like, that's what I would do. I would do the same thing. But it's a moment of realization where you go, if you're not the guy that goes, whatever, man, that's you, you know, take care of yourself. You know what I mean?
Sebastian Maniscalco is like that. He doesn't. He's like, whatever. You know what I mean? I feel like he's more like that. And
yeah.
I know guys like...
Every famous guy I know is like that.
Yeah. But...
Well, they're like that with the people they need to be like that with.
Oh, you think so?
Then you see them with other people and you're like, oh, you're a demon.
Yeah.
You just know how to keep the demon at bay. That's what it is. You and I don't know how to keep the demon at bay.
I do, though, in certain circumstances. You? There's certain things.
I have a hard time.
Like when I'm so if I'm shooting Magnum PI, right, I can let out a couple of frustrations. Like, how long is this gonna take?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Right. I could just yell that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are you sitting there? Or whatever, right? But when I'm on Sex in the City.
Oh, that's right. I watched that whole thing. I loved watching you on that.
Fuck you.
I did. I liked it. I hated Che. I hated the Che character.
I love her.
And I'm not saying she's a bad person.
She's a great person.
I didn't like the character.
Never saw it.
She's and a great I didn't person. Like what it did with. I didn't like what they did with Miranda. I didn't like the Che Miranda thing.
Oh, I see.
Not because of who the actors are. I just mean I didn't like what they did. But I liked the show. I enjoyed it. I'm a big Sex in the City fan.
I'm going back.
And I thought it was. Are they doing another season?
Yeah, in October.
I thought it was I thought it was fucking light years better than either of the movies.
Oh, cool.
And I'm so sad that Kim Cattrall's not there.
Really?
It genuinely makes me sad.
Oh. That's Are you being real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get angry. So, when I'm there in October, maybe we'll do you have a podcast?
Yeah.
I'll do yours.
I have a podcast.
I'll do yours.
Yes. Yeah. You don't see anything.
I don't.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I go on shows and I go, I love the show. Can I come on? And then I've never seen it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, come on, Taste Buds.
Yeah, I know that you have one.
Me
but
and Sal Volcano, we do Taste Buds.
Oh, I love. Isn't he in the Jokings?
Yeah, the Jokings.
They do the jokes.
The improv.
The pranks.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this. Like Jackass, but different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I don't know. Less dicks.
Do you have dicks?
No, I'm saying it's less dicks.
Less dick. Less dicks. Yeah,
but yeah, come on, Taste Buds. I love that.
It's called Taste Buds?
Yeah, it's fun.
Does Sal like me? I don't know if he knows who I am.
I'm sure he likes you.
I don't know.
I'm sure he does. Sal likes, he rarely has a problem with somebody.
Yeah. No, can I ask you another question? But do you have any interest of acting?
I've acted.
Okay, don't get me.
No.
He has a huge resume.
Like, give me some.
Here's the only
Better Call Saul. Saul.
That's huge.
Son, Pete Holmes show.
Oh, that's huge.
Well, Saul was huge, but it didn't lead to anything.
Louis.
I'm serious.
A huge.
Chelsea Lately.
Bigger than mine. Yeah. Bigger than my credits.
No, I was recurring on Saul, but it didn't lead to anything.
They never do.
They never, but you act pretty consistently.
They never do.
So every job for you is I'm auditioning all over, ground zero.
Here's the truth. You never live in the results.
That's good.
Okay.
Way to put it. Yeah.
Because they never do. It's the things that are so unexpected that become the thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you could do like, it's never happened for me, but I'm just saying I've seen it happen for other people. You know, they do a commercial that they don't want to be doing, but then that director, you know what I mean, is the next thing and then uses them and then they move on. You know what I mean?
It's like Patton Oswalt's a good example. If you look at the 90s, before he did King of Queens,
yeah.
Leading up to it, it's like one foot in front of the other. It's like small part in this, a little bit bigger part in this, a little bit, but it's constant. He's constantly popping up and all like the
legendary stuff though, like Magnolia,
you know, and like, but then he's like the DJ in Starsky and Hutch.
Oh,
like,
right.
Just popping up in all this shit.
Yeah.
And then he's on King of Queens and it all makes sense. And I thought I might have had a chance to do that. And it just didn't happen. I got so sick of auditioning.
You don't do it anymore?
I will only audition now if it's a true Zoom audition, like, because you don't ever go in person anymore. I will not put myself on tape. I refuse.
Ugh. Why?
I refuse.
Why?
Because it is a waste of fucking time.
Why?
Because I've wasted my time.
You think though they don't see it?
I don't think they look at it. I think it's lazy people making another fucking excuse for their job.
They fucking see it, man, because I put myself on tape. And they better be seeing it.
This was the last.
They better be fucking seeing it.
This was the last thing I put myself on tape. Not the last, but one of the last things I put myself on tape for was The Offer. I auditioned, and I worked my fucking ass off because I auditioned to play Joe Colombo.
Wow.
I worked my fucking ass off on that audition. And I was like watching tape of him and trying to get his voice down. I mean, I really worked on it. And Giovanni Ribisi gets the,
right.
Give me a fucking break. I never had a chance.
Yeah.
I never had a fucking chance. I'm shooting myself on my iPad Air.
I know, but that doesn't, I know, but that doesn't necessarily mean they didn't see it. This is what happened.
Wait, let me tell you this. Eddie Pepitone goes, why are you leaving L.A.? I go, Eddie, how many times am I going to audition for my living room for Superstore?
I know, right.
And he goes, oh, my God, you got to move.
You got to move.
Yeah.
This is what happens. They look at the tape, right, and then they have their top three,
right?
But then they always have an offer to somebody else. So they always have an offer to, like, a big name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they audition you guys, like us, right, for we're like, just in case our dreams don't come true and we don't get the one we want, right? And then we'll have to battle out with these three. So it's a one in a million chance, but that doesn't necessarily mean
everything I ever got was because a casting director truly worked with me on it. Everything. Mm-hmm. Gail Keller, who's amazing, she auditioned me. I met her because I auditioned for Bored to Death. I auditioned for Zach's part.
Wow.
And I didn't get it, obviously. But then she brought me back and I got another part on small part, but it was on an episode, you know, it was a good scene with Zach and Schwartzman. And then after that, she brought me in for Louis. And I read for a part, and she goes, do you have time? And I go, yeah. And she goes, I want you to read for a different part in a different episode. And I go, okay. And she gave me this thing to read for, and I got it. She then brought me in to audition for, there was a third, I forget. When I got Better Call Saul, the casting director sat there with me for 30 minutes with the scene and was giving me direction and going like, bring it down farther, bring it down. Now I want you to do it like this. Every fucking thing I ever booked, it was a casting director that gave a shit. And now that suddenly the industry standard is just shoot yourself from home. And then when they started sending specifics, be in front of a white wall, make sure it's a three-quarter. I was like, go
fuck yourselves.
Do your fucking job.
Yeah. You know when they say that?
Yeah.
You know when they say that?
Doesn't do it.
You know, where do we do it?
We do it in the most...
In here! Most TGI colorful, Fridays!
Distracting background.
Out there. I don't give a... I go to the opposite direction. They go, wear a cop uniform. I wear a fucking nurse's outfit. I don't give a fuck, bro.
Did you get...
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You're you know, an athlete. I wear fuck. I gain weight. I don't give a
yeah,
fuck.
He gains
Listen,
weight.
We do against this with the neon. I show everything, and they was like, "Well, it's so busy in the background." What really?
Fuck
well,
off.
Well, go fuck it. Fuck it.
Off.
Here's two things I want to say based on what you just said. Okay, my friend. All right. There's two reasons, right? I've had that where I've gone in and the casting director is working with you. Like, listen, smaller or whatever it might be, right? Or you know what I mean? We'll read this part. But every job I've ever gotten, right? It's always a director or a producer or somebody going, they're a fan. They were a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, we love you. I mean, I wrote it for you. Or like when I did Borderlands, you know, it was Eli Roth going, oh, no, I wanted you and Tim Dillon in this. I mean, it didn't work out with Tim, but at least I got you. You know what I mean? It's like, it's always like, you know what I mean? That. It's never like, you know what my agents, here's what my agents have never done. And this is, I tell them this every day. I go, you know, for once, guys, I want this to happen. I want to be on set. I want some huge director to go, yeah, I never really heard about you, but your agent really sold me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he really got my mind wrapped around. And now I'm a fan. You know what I mean? It's never that. It's always like, oh, no, I could have been with nobody. And still gotten some of the shit, most of the shit that I've gotten.
That's what I'm saying. It's all bullshit. Yeah. When Burr started booking everything, every time he told me the story, it was always, I worked with the guy on this, or they liked me on this, or whatever. And with Saul, unfortunately, I love Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan and everybody, Thomas, everybody over there is great. But unfortunately, we live in a very different era of television. And it's not, I mean, people come up to me and tell me, Better Call Saul is my favorite TV show. Who are you? I'm a fucking key component character on the show. I'm only on once or twice a season, but I'm a key motherfucker. I showed Saul the black book. Like that he has in Breaking Bad. It's my book.
Yeah.
And people are like, who are you? I'm like, motherfucker, do you watch the fucking show? I'm the vet. And they're like, oh my God, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just a different era of TV. It just isn't what it was, man. 10 years ago, that probably would have opened a few doors. But it's just not that. So I said, I'm going to back off on auditioning. I'm going to focus on stand-up. I've been published for my fiction writing and stuff. I'm very lucky, so I try to keep doing that. Mm. I do my stand-up. I do my two podcasts, and I opened a bar and sandwich shop in New York.
Where?
Oh, that's right.
Lower East Side.
Remember the name?
Joey Roses.
We called him on the podcast about naming a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
After you.
Oh, that's what they didn't, though.
No. Did you? We even don't name them. The only people I named anything after were my parents.
Okay, if you did name a sandwich, what would be in it? It was Bobby Lee.
Huh?
And be racist. I don't care.
Give us the full.
Just be real. Be real. If you were forced to make the Bobby Lee sandwich, what would be in it?
Cum.
Oh, what type of bread?
So cum.
What type of bread?
What kind of bread? Let's. All right. So
be cum.
What kind of?
it's a
cup of cum.
Be a plate.
Yeah. The shot glass of the cum.
No, put it on a plate.
It's a plate of cum. Yeah. Right. No bread.
Well, we bake our own bread. It would be on our bread.
All right. So. Not a specialized bread.
No, we use the same. We bake our own bread. We're very proud of our bread.
Okay, so your bread, but you would just put cum on it, and that would be called the Bobby Lee?
Yeah.
No one would ever buy it.
No, of course not. No, but yeah, you should come. Next time you're in New York, come through. It's fun.
Where is it?
Lower East Side, 174 Rivington Street.
Wow. If you're in New York, go check that out.
Thanks. Yeah, Joey Roses. JoeyRosesNYC.com. But it's sorry for the extra. But I'm saying, like, it's like you gotta, you know, man, I don't believe, you gotta have some kind of focus, right?
What do you mean?
In life and in the business,
yeah.
Like you can't be successful if you're spinning 87 plates. I'm already spinning 5 or 6, and I'm not spinning the I'm gonna put myself on tape. Because I've done it, dude. I did so many over the course of a year. Where my because my manager gets me all my auditions. I'm not with an agency anymore, and out of choice. But he would be like, "This is really good, dude. I'm telling you, this is for Succession. You're not going to audition for Succession." And every time I'd go, "Okay," and then I would do it, and nothing, no notes, nothing,
yeah,
whatsoever. It was fucking pointless.
It's not, though. You just never know, man.
You just proved it was. You said everything you ever got was because a guy knew who you were.
Damn.
I know. That's true. But that is true. But can I say this, though?
But also paint onto it before you say this. Throw on top of it, too. We don't really want to hire white straight guys right now. That's a huge thing, too.
All right, your attitude right now, you're not white and straight.
Because they all think I am.
You're Middle Eastern.
I don't lean into
You're Punjabi
it.
Like the other one.
I don't lean into it. Straight I've said to my manager, I go, tell them I'm fucking Arab if it helps.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. I'm not Arab enough. I'm not Arab enough. I pass for white.
No, here's what happened to you.
Say.
No, there's what happened to you. This is what you purposely do, dude. You're not in the sun enough.
That's the key.
No, I'm
That's
being real. White guys like this, Arab dudes like this, right? They're not in the sun enough, right? So go on the sun, put some tan. I bet you money if you got dark, you'll get them all.
I can't get dark. I'm light skinned, dude.
Yeah, like you look at like Mo Salah. Like you don't look anything like Mo Salah.
Who's Mo Salah?
Oh,
Mohamed Salah from football.
What?
No. Dude, did you ever see the
this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, forget. I won't.
Like
look
that's
like
an Egyptian.
That.
That's an Egyptian. You could do this.
You could do that, dude.
There's different
that I'm, color.
Hair,
you can do.
My hair is too. It's not. What's the term for that?
Say it.
No, just I'm not
say
saying it.
I'll say it.
But
Froey.
Froey is a good word. My hair's not that froey.
Yeah, is that racist?
No.
No.
It's froey. Yeah, yeah.
But you gotta look like a mother. Like, look at Mo Amir. That motherfucker looks like he sells falafel.
Yeah, but
you know
it's
what
like,
I mean?
But you,
like, you gotta look Arab. You know,
you and I have to go to Hawaii. Couple of a week on the beach.
I don't tan up that much. I'm trying to tell you.
You don't. Do you have you tried?
Yes. You think I don't go out? This yeah.
No, but I'm saying really do
I've
a session.
Full,
put the fucking.
I've had 4 weeks at a beach house where I'm in the pool every day for 8 hours straight, and I'm telling you, it only gets so tan. It just doesn't.
Were you just pink?
No, I'm just kind of always this color. It gets a little darker.
Okay. Don't get angry. I'm gonna.
I'm not angry.
Don't get angry. Don't get angry. So, I'm gonna tell you something, okay?
Yeah.
You depending on what it is, you should always keep putting yourself on tape because you never know.
Yeah, it's like
okay. Let, a, I'm gonna ask you a question. Okay,
after a while,
I'm your manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give you 3 projects, and I'm gonna see which ones you would take.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Duros, it's me. What's his name, your guy?
Zach.
Hey, it's me, Zach. How you doing?
Good. Why do you have that accent now, Zach?
Oh, I'm from the East Coast, no?
East Coast,
he
lives out here. Hey, he lives in Hollywood.
But anyway, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I got some project, bro. You got to put yourself on tape.
Okay.
All right. This next one is, I think, you know, I mean, the casting, they don't know you that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In fact, they don't know you at all.
Okay.
Right? But I'm going to, you know, it's got Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Right? And Margot Robbie. Ryan Reynolds, Margot Robbie, right?
Right.
They're getting divorced. You're the lawyer, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, dude, it's like, you know, the casting director, they want a funny guy. They want an Egyptian guy.
Egyptian.
That who looks Italian. Egyptian guy who looks Italian,
yeah,
right?
If this, glasses. If it was ever this narrow, I might consider it.
You would do that one.
But it's never that.
Okay, it could be.
If okay, so
oh, here's another one.
Here's
another one. All right. Second one. Okay, it's hey, what do you love? You're right. It's called Jawa. You know the Star Wars.
Oh, I love.
They're doing
in Star Wars. I'll do it.
You will?
I would go.
No matter what it is.
I'm obsessed with Star Wars.
All right, so you,
it's a dream of mine to be somewhere in the Star Wars universe.
Okay, so here's the third one.
I'll do Star Wars.
All right.
I don't need to pick one. I picked it.
All right. All right.
Stop this accent.
All right. So, anyway, good to talk to you. All right. Talk to you later. All right.
All right.
Okay. Bye bye.
Latino. Was it George Lopez manager? Am I going to get canceled because I said Mo Amir looks like he sells falafel?
No.
No.
No, because I'm Arab, so it's okay.
Yeah, you worry about that?
No, I was joking. I'm joking.
But do you get worried? Do you worry about ever that?
No. A little bit, because I don't have fuck you money.
Mm.
I don't have fuck you money.
Like, Who does?
I can't go away.
There's five guys that has fuck you money.
If I had a milli in the bank, I would be like, I don't give a
how many? How much million?
One. I don't need much.
If you had $1 million in the bank, fuck you.
I will live off of that.
Wow, you have low overhead.
That's good.
What do I care? I'll buy a house in Pennsylvania for $250,000.
Wow.
In cash, and then I'll have $750,000 left, and then I'll have a fucking bullshit job in a comic book store and pay my bills and have health insurance. What the fuck else do I need to do if I got canceled?
That's true. If you got canceled, but you can always still do the road.
Well, no, I'm saying if you got for real canceled.
No, there are guys that really canceled, still do the road.
He also still sells a lot of tickets.
Yeah, and they sell still good tickets.
Yeah, but he had.
I don't know who we're talking about.
He had dough.
I'm not talking about him. I don't think he was truly canceled. I don't even know who you're talking about.
I think he was.
Right, there's a couple of other ones that are truly canceled, still making money.
I'm not talking about who you think I'm talking about.
This has been the whole podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
People.
All right, so listen, I don't want to mention the guy we're talking about, but I'm just saying.
No, I think we're talking about two different guys.
No, I know. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Already, but I'm telling you that's not who I'm talking about.
No, I know. That's what I said. We're talking about two different guys.
Right, right. But I'm going to say what is canceled anymore. I don't think they truly canceled because.
Well, again, fuck you money. Like that.
But even thing. But DeRosa.
If you get canceled and you can still sell out a club, you're not canceled.
So there's no one that's ever been canceled.
But I can't sell out a full weekend at a club. I can sell okay, but I'm not worth the risk. The club isn't looking at me going, dude, it's undeniable money. We're fucking booking it. They're not going to do that. Like, I will be like, if I got canceled right now, I'd be doing like, at best, 75 seats. Like those kinds of rooms for the rest of my life. And I'm not going to die doing that, you know? So.
If you get 100% of the door and you charge $40.
I like doing shows like that. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to burn myself out to death, like running around, you know?
You're right.
I don't know.
Don't get canceled then.
You don't worry
about it. But most of all, it's halal and the hummus or whatever you just said is not a bad thing.
You don't worry about it at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell when you're, like, actually mad or serious or anything.
Yeah, that's why I'm a deceiver. I live in the shadow.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
I'm a deceiver sounds negative.
Yeah, I number one, honestly, 99.9, because I've heard people say that, like, yeah, can't tell if you're serious or not. It's like, I'm never serious.
When you were yelling at him, I was like, I can't tell if he's, like, mad or not.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I love him.
Okay.
I've never been mad at him.
Okay.
So, in fact, I've never been mad at anyone in this room.
Oh, great.
I've been mad at people's photos that's in the room. Don't look up there. I don't know where it is. There's just been photos, but never been mad at anyone in this room. I've never been mad really.
Yeah, I know.
I can give you like five people that I'm truly mad at, but that's it in the world. You know, I'm usually I fake anger. Fake sadness. If I'm really sad, you'll really know.
Because do you get like scary?
No, I really cry. You know what I mean? If I'm really angry, you'll know.
What do you do?
I'll just like start sucking your dick, man. No, I'll
your dick's.
No, I think you'll just know. I mean, have I ever been really mad at you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the eyes.
And did you know? Right. Now, when I was yelling at you here, did you know? No. I wasn't mad.
No, I knew that.
Okay. But how about you? Have I ever been really mad at you?
I think to us, once.
Yeah.
Once or twice. That's about it.
Do you have unhelpful advice?
We do.
So at the end of my podcast, I really like this format. You and I take like across from each other just talking. Close. I just like it.
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
You mean me specifically, or you mean
I think you specifically? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's start a podcast.
It seemed like
smart.
What are those two people that didn't like each other back in the '70s, and they were like
Siskel and Ebert?
No, they were Democrat and Republican, and they were like they did movies about him.
Gore Vidal and
Buckley.
William F. Buckley.
William F. Buckley. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like we like each other. They really didn't like
you. I don't like you.
No?
I do. I really do like you. Yeah, they didn't, but you know, yeah, but they were also
amazing. No, Gore Vidal was like, I did not.
They didn't like each other.
No, when he died, when Buckley died, Gore Vidal was like, good riddance or something.
Yeah.
Gore Vidal kind of sucks.
Yeah, but he probably fucked so many good guys.
Oh, dude, he fucked Prime.
Prime Dick back
Prime
in the day.
Dick was he?
Let me ask, can I ask, you have a wife?
No.
Girlfriend?
No. I have commitment issues.
So you don't fuck good?
No, I fuck great.
Great. I'm glad I like the confidence. Yeah.
I bang as much as I humanly can.
Dude, so you still do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I stop?
I know. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I'm newly single.
I know.
You know, do you sometimes dip below your level?
Lower my standards?
Like, are there times when you want, normally I wouldn't, but I'm gonna right now.
I'll have to say that's happened.
Okay, you like to. Let me ask you another question. May I ask another question about this?
You can ask me anything you
want. After you do that, mm-hmm. you dip below, mm-hmm. right? Is there guilt and shame involved?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
No, see, this isn't. I'm like you. If I was mad, I'd be mad. You know what I mean? You'd know I was mad.
Yeah, that's, like, yeah.
No, I'm saying like, motherfucker, you're speaking my language.
All right.
I'm not saying like, duh.
Have you ever punched way above your weight?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
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 I mean.
Now, when you do that.
All the time. Almost every woman I sleep with
is
better
above.
Than me.
Oh,
I don't understand why they have sex with me.
Right. But have you ever punched so above? I'm talking about like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you just make them your girlfriend?
Because it wasn't there. I don't know. I can't speak to it. It's not, looks isn't enough. Looks isn't enough. If you find a person truly like irritating or not fun or boring or whatever it is, like it's, you can't, that's not enough.
Okay, if you met a girl, I'm sorry, I have to ask, okay. If you're with a girl way above your league, right? And she's also, you know, her humor is similar to yours, right? She gets it, right? She's very supportive of your career, right? But she has an annoying laugh. Like she goes, like that.
No,
when she laughs, would that bother you?
Yes. No, I can't do it. You got it. The worst is, yeah. The worst is, that. No, I couldn't do it. That's a deal breaker. That's like bad breath. It's like you can't.
I know, but what I'm saying is everything around her, she's, you know what I mean? She's a great, even, she's like an attorney, but she's also a great joke writer for some reason. Yeah. Like she helps you with your act. She just has a fucked up laugh.
Sounds awful.
You can't do it?
Wow. No, every part of what you just described is terrible.
Attorney?
She wants to help me with my act.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a lawyer.
Let me ask you one last question?
Yeah.
Okay. I have several more. But all right, she's above your weight. Okay, but you find out weird things about her ex, like three of her ex-boyfriends have mysteriously vanished or died,
mm-hmm.
right? Like all of them. Yeah, my high school sweetheart Gilbert, they found him frozen in a lake.
Right.
Right? And right. You're like, oh, that's weird. Yeah, my fiance last year, Sam, yeah, they found him like, you know, he was inside a tree.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean inside? They just found his body inside a tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Would you find that to be weird, or would you continue? Every single boyfriend she's had.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd find it to be weird, of course.
But would you continue?
No, I don't think so.
Can we ask that question to you? What is your response?
Yeah,
okay, ask me the question.
I feel like you're really asking yourself all these questions.
Yeah.
If a girl, right?
Yeah.
You're punching way above your level.
Yeah, I'm closing my eyes.
Hot lawyer.
Yeah.
Really great laugh, helping you with your act, right? And she tells you that she has three boyfriends that all died in mysterious ways. The tree.
I will continue.
Why? You don't see a pattern?
It could be just circumstances. You know, I mean, it could be coincidence. Number one, you can't make assumptions. Number two, right? I'll be always like.
And they're all Asian. And they've all died.
Wait, wait. All the boyfriends have been, and she's a white girl?
Yes.
Just the Asian.
Now.
Yeah. This is
now? You're getting somewhere. No.
Yeah.
Because now she has a fetish of murdering
yes.
Asian guys,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Right? That would be weird.
That's it is weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is weird. Yeah, no, I have commitment issues, so I can't explain.
What's the longest relationship you have?
9 months.
Oh.
9 months.
You need therapy.
I am in therapy.
Can I say,
I take pills, too.
I'm going to say something. Yeah. I want to start a fight with you.
You won't.
I will.
You won't.
I will.
Maybe it's abandonment issues from not reaching out and finding your real biological
parents. It's 100% related to my adoption.
Okay, well, I think maybe to heal it, maybe go and try to at least go on the journey of trying to find your biological parents.
Nah, fuck that.
No. No, fuck you.
No, I didn't say fuck you.
I'm going to say, I know, but I want to say fuck you. I think you should.
That's cool.
No, don't be like that.
No, no, no.
What you're doing right now, you're doing your smirk, you're doing your New York thing.
No, I'm going to...
Your sandwich shop bullshit. I know you're fucking...
It's just funny. It would be funny. It would be very funny if suddenly at 44, I said to all my closest mm-hmm. friends and family, I'm going to finally do this. And they go, but you've been against it your whole life. And I go, Bobby Lee changed my mind on his podcast. It's be fun. It's a comical story. So you're doing the thing now that you do that I can't tell if you're mad or not. I saw the clip of you doing this to who's the kid with the hair?
Oliver Tree?
What? No, what's his face? Oh, man.
Theo Von?
Theo, yeah.
Look at it.
You stared at him for so long in this video on YouTube.
You know, it's not.
And I was like, I think he's. And
I honestly, you know, fuck you, because I'm going to say something. I honestly think that'll help.
I don't.
And I want to help you. I like you.
I appreciate it. I really do. I think you're wonderful.
But you're never going to do it.
I didn't say I'm never going to do it. I just don't.
But as you get older, they could be.
There's a lot of reasons why I don't like commitment. There's a lot. Mm. There's a lot to fear. I got to be honest with you. I haven't seen many of them go well.
Relationships?
Yes.
In other people's relationships?
Yes.
You know, you're right. You know what? You know what, DeRosa? DeRosa, I have to say something. You're absolutely correct. And even the ones that are seemingly going well, I've been prying in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've been peeking behind the blinders. And doing some more research, it's not what you think it is.
No, it's not, man. And I've watched people,
all of them,
change their face. You know, and you go, "What happened?" And they're like, whether it's a woman and her husband, or a guy and a wife, or whatever, and they start telling you these stories, and you're like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't know either, man, you know?
But let me, I read a story the other day of this guy who has high school sweetheart, beautiful. Then she was in some sort of fire.
Okay.
I don't know why I laughed.
That's crazy.
But it's crazy. But like literally she's just.
That's horrible.
You know what I mean? Like Harvey Dent all around, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And he's just basically saying, yeah, I love her. It's not about the face.
That's amazing.
But do you think that's real?
I think that has to be.
Mm-hmm. I think that has to be.
That has to.
That has to be real.
But you know, man,
as long as the pussy's
as long as
nice one, man. Hey, nice one.
As long as the pussy's
hey, fist bump. Nice no. one.
We might have to cut that part off, but you know what I mean. Because the fire didn't reach the pussy. I mean, it could have been just like you know what I mean. It's got to be really good though.
The
cut that part.
There's
off.
A lot of jokes.
Yeah.
But. all right, I'm going to move past it. But yeah.
move fast.
But no, but again, like I talked a lot about this with Ryan yesterday. And it was just like, I said, look, I'm not against marriage. I'm not against a committed relationship. I want to continue to live in separate places. I do not want to cohabitate with somebody. I think that's insanity to me. Trying to, number one, find the love of your life, the odds of that game. And then on top of it, have that person be a roommate that you're able to stand 24/7. It's what are we fucking talking about here? These are Han Solo asteroid field odds here. This is insane.
That's true.
You know, it's like it's so overcomplicated. It's so, I don't want the government involved in my personal relationships, and that fucks people up with marriage and financially what happens to them when they try to split up. But so I think the traditional version of commitment, I don't care for it. I think it's nuts. I shouldn't say nuts, because I do have friends that love one another very much who are together all the time, and for whatever reason, it works for them. That's great.
You look at Rosebud Baker and Andy Hay,
yeah,
and they're together, you're like, that seems like it's working out.
Yeah, yeah.
You see other people. You see Al Madrigal and Kristen, his wife. Or you
never
see,
met his wife, yeah.
Yeah, but she's great, you know what I mean? Or there's so many different examples where I look at them, I go, Sebastian and Lana, you know, you go, it looks like it's working out. And Kalila and I was working out. When we moved in together, I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Mm-hmm. I really was convinced. It was. Mm-hmm. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened. It was a great 10 years. But at some point or another, it changed.
I think, look, they say, if I may.
Yeah.
And I don't know your relationship well enough to comment on it, but I'm just speaking in generalities. But like, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Why would you, not you, anybody, why would you take the most beautiful love you've ever discovered and alleviate absence from it and make it this 24/7 fucking onslaught where every aspect of this person becomes boring and routine to you?
You just blew my mind right now.
You know?
I'm learning from you, dude.
I'm learning from you.
Yeah, honestly, you're right. I think you're absolutely correct.
Well, look, it's also...
we're doing it.
It's also something if you want kids.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want kids. Stay together. I don't want kids. I have no interest in having kids.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it from that perspective. But my point is just like just the idea of a relationship. This thing where it's like you have to do everything together and every meal together, and like maybe she sucks at maybe she leaves the kitchen in disarray. That's something that would sit very poorly with me because I'm a little OCD and I don't like shit like that.
Mm.
Why am I adding that into this equation of love? Why am I sharing a bathroom where I have to worry about she leaves toothpaste in the sink, or like the fucking shower is gross because we're both shaving in there, and why is any of that coming to this? Why am I seeing her tits for no apparent reason at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
And taking any excitement out of seeing her tits? Like it's gone. Look, societal pressure too. Is horrible. Societal, that's one of the reasons I left LA. I was like, I can't live in a suburb. I can't live in a fucking suburb where everybody is doing like this traditional lifestyle and it's it's a mirror. You look across the street, it's a mirror of your life. I can't do it. I got to get somewhere where New York, there's no rhyme or fucking reason. It's like, you could be a millionaire and you're still in this weird little apartment and whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
I just watched, who's the guy from Stranger Things?
Which one?
The
big guy?
Sheriff.
Oh, forgot his name. Sheriff, yeah.
Yeah, but they just did a Architectural Digest that does like YouTube videos, and they did a video of his loft.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I saw that.
It's gorgeous, but it's hilarious. Because he had the money to make a normal New York loft beautiful.
Right.
But it's funny because the whole time he's like, yeah, man, you know, man, it's New York, dude. Like when he walks into his kitchen, he's like, so here's the living area. It's the dining room, the kitchen,
yeah,
the living room, and here's my little office area. And I'm laughing and I'm like, is my apartment that nice? No. But is my living room also my dining room and my office area? Yes, because that's fucking New York, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't, there is no mirror image or patterned lifestyle in New York. It just doesn't exist. It doesn't matter if you're the guy on Stranger Things or not.
You think I should move there?
You have New York written all over you.
I do?
You're like, yeah, you're like a fucking crazy punk rock, like wild. Like, I'm shocked that you don't spend more time there.
I know, I live in suburbia. I think it's like a trap in a cage.
Don't change your whole life based on this discussion.
I think he is. Some deep changes.
But listen, that's the thing. Like, when
your body's weird.
Thank you.
It really is. Like, it's like a weird body.
Thanks.
In a good way.
No, it's not good.
It's not.
Wait, what's weird?
Yeah, it's like you and JF Harris have the same body.
Oh, God.
I love him. Anyway,
I like JF too. I don't want to have the same body as him.
It's the same. It's
wait,
like,
what's weird about my body?
Shoulders, like skinny up in the shoulder area. Yeah. And it's like kind of like a squash.
I know, it sucks.
Why are you bringing it?
I hate it so much.
Yeah, but look at my body.
I saw Santino last night and he was making fun of my body.
Yeah, yeah. Like, dude. Let me say this, yeah. And I honestly believe this, and I'll say this out loud, right? Your stand-up and how funny you are is levels above Andrew Santino.
One time to camera.
Don't drag me into this.
I'm not. I really believe that. I think Andrew's one of the...
He's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But him and I, we work well together, and I love him as a person, right? But just to be truthful, I think you're funnier. And a better comic.
All right, I'll take it.
And a better joke writer. Anyway, unhelpful?
I'll take it.
All right.
The
unhelpful advice.
Unhelpful advice.
So basically what they do emails. People email us problems, and we answer it.
Unhelpful advice with Joe DeRuzzo.
Yeah. It sounds fun. Have some confidence that I'm enjoying myself with you.
I'm enjoying it, too.
Hey,
do the voice again.
Should I be?
Unhelpful advice with Joe DeRuzzo.
Right. Hey guys, my friend and I used to be cool since 2008. We've been through a lot of ups and downs financial-wise. About 2 years ago, he started making good money from his new job, and now he doesn't even talk to me anymore. I'm thinking it's because I don't make money like him. My family and his really grew up together, and my kids love playing with his kids. I always try to reach out, but go left on red. Should I keep trying to be friends with this fuck, or
no.
Do I just cut him off completely? If I cut him out, how do I explain to my kids they're not going to be hanging out with him again? Thanks, guys.
You don't need to... Explain to the kids what?
Yeah, he can't. They're not going to be playing with his kids.
Well, look, that's got nothing to do with this guy. The kids can play together.
And, yeah.
You know, for the sake of your kids, you could just be the bigger man and deal with the fact that there doesn't have to be some dramatic split. And it's his problem. It's not your problem. You're letting your ego dictate a situation that could affect your kids having a good time. If the kids are friends, let the kids play and leave it at that. You don't got to fucking... This is what I mean with suburbia. Why do the parents have to be friends?
Yeah,
who gives a shit?
Well, you still have to act. You, like, if you don't like the guy, you know what I mean? You still have to pretend.
He didn't fuck his wife. It's like, I can't keep it together because he doesn't text me emojis anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you're right.
Walk in, drop the fucking kids off, be a human being and leave. That's it.
Exactly.
Or have his kids come over.
Yeah. Also, this guy.
Or say to this guy cordially, like, dude, it's no big deal. It's not a big thing. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hurt that you don't kind of hit me back anymore. And, you know, that's all. Like, it doesn't have to be a confrontation.
But I think the reason why he doesn't have that conversation because he understands what it is.
Well,
he already understands what it is, right?
He's making an assumption.
It's not an assumption, I don't think.
I think he could be right. It also could be the guy is terribly busy with work and doesn't
that's
have
true.
The energy
that,
for
that,
it
that
anymore.
Is true. It could be a perception thing, but...
It could also be that, bro, it might be you.
Whoa. Yeah, get a job!
Look at the mirror. Make more money!
I mean, you know what I mean? Nobody's ever like, maybe it's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I'm stepping
You're on not it. Stepping on it. I love it. But I, here's my point of view, okay? But the other guy that's successful, at one point or another, I think he's going to come back around. Because if he wasn't successful before, and all of a sudden, when you become successful out of nowhere, you get introduced to another group of people. So in your own head, you're like, oh, I'm special. I got new, you know, right? But then you realize that this new level of people, they're all pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that, and then you look back and go, hey, whatever happened to Ted I used to hang out with? And then you'll go, oh, I abandoned him. And he'll go back. He'll go back.
Do you guys have names of people you started with that...
I'll be honest with you. I'm that way.
Oh.
I was a piece of shit, dude. And I
was a piece of shit. I have people in my... Yeah. I people that really changed quite a bit.
Oh, but they got successful.
Mm-hmm.
I can name some right now too. Can you name? We'll bleep it. What's
but there's people that. But I mean, also too, like there. I had a friend that wasn't a comic that used to give me this grief openly, with this guy's complaining about very openly, and consistently, and I was like, dude, I don't have a ton of free time because of my job. And when I do have free time, I usually just fucking hang out with people I work with because they're there and work ends and we hang out. And that's it. I'm like, it's not personal, man. It's just what life becomes sometimes. Like, I have to plan event hangouts with friends that I don't see often. It's got to be like, okay, dude, Christmas week, we're both home on Tuesday of that week. You know what I mean? You have to figure it out.
I know what you're saying. So what it is I have friends that I grew up with.
Right.
Right? And they perceive, because of the fact that I don't really call them or hang out with them, it's because I don't like them or I've moved on. It's not that. It's just I don't have any friends. Right. Really. At the end of the day, I have one or two friends.
Right.
Right? And the dudes I hang out with are people I like. You know what I mean? But they're like comics. You know, it's like, let's go to Swingers. And we get to swing and hear vague things about their lives or whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not because I think I'm better or I've moved on. It's just that you don't live here in LA. You live in San Diego or wherever I grew up with you. You know what I mean? Or you're living, I didn't change. You know what I mean?
But
it's
also,
the circumstances have.
Also, too, like part of. I still have some very, very close friends there were guys I grew up with and stuff like that. And like I said, we still hang out, but it's an event hangout. It's like, let's all do this on this day in this month. You know what I mean? You have to plan it. And we have a great time. But like part of I talk to them less frequently, for the most part, less frequently than I talk to my comedy friends. Because part of evolving in life as well is like, hey man, like when I do have time to hang out, I want to be able to bitch about work, and I need to be around somebody that I can bitch about that to, or I can relate. We can talk about this, because that becomes, the older you get, that becomes more of life. Mm. If you go buy a house and that's consuming you for a while, you're probably going to hang out with another guy that has a house a little more frequently because you're talking about that shit.
Interesting.
You know? You know what I mean? Yeah. I think. I don't know.
You know what? Sorry for making fun of your body.
I don't care. Your body is terrible, too. You know?
What do you mean?
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Like, what does it look like to you?
Awful.
What is it?
It looks like cum. That's why I said I would put cum inside your sandwich.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
You look like a stress ball. Like, if I squeezed you, like, parts would come out of my fingers.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
There it is.
And feel free to say stuff like that. That's the honest truth.
We both have weird bodies, but chicks still dig it. Like, so who cares?
I wouldn't know because I just got out of a relationship and I'm not seeing anybody right now.
Babe, you're going to bounce back strong.
I don't know.
You're going to bounce back strong.
Anyway, this guy, God bless you. Take care. Listen, Joe, what do you want to promote? Anything?
You got some dates?
Yeah, so go to joedeRosaInfo.com for all my dates and tickets.
What's California Comedy Club?
That's the Lyric on in Silver Lake. I'm doing that tomorrow night.
Okay.
But this is probably not up before that. But TV taping in Brooklyn on August 9th for the show Can I Kick It with me, Tone Bell, and Al Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And that's for Vice, and that's a big taping, actually, for us. It's a pilot, so please come to that if you can. Wow. It's a hip-hop... It's a comedic review of old school hip hop. It's very, very fun.
I love the American Comedy Club Company.
I'll be at the American Comedy Downtown. Company in September. I'll be actually Atlantic City in August at the Atlantic City Comedy Club. I'll be, that Black Cat sold out. I got to think. Somerville, Crystal Ballroom, September 12th at Somerville, in Somerville.
Skankfest, I've never been invited.
I'm going to Skankfest.
Never
Ed
been
Crow
invited.
And Wilmington.
Never been invited.
Dead Crow in Wilmington. So there's a lot of shows coming up. I'm back on a road run for the first time in basically 3 years. Go to joedeRosaInfo.com for tickets and showtimes. And then please come to Joey Rose's. This is our sandwich show.
Oh my God,
bar.
I'm gonna go for sure.
You guys sell out a lot, I noticed.
Yeah, we're very
So you are making good money.
He's crushing.
I'm doing okay. I don't have fuck you money. I can't stress
that's
that out.
Fuck you money, dude. That's great.
Franchise this.
Anyway, give him a round of applause, but Joe DeRosa. Let's get the fuck end this fucking thing, man.